Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it's about that time. It is October 9th, 2019. It is a Wednesday, or as I like to say, hump day. Really hope you guys are having a great week out there. We were not live on the air yesterday. I actually took a personal day. Decided last minute to take yesterday off because as you get older, you know, perspective hits you. You start to look at things a little bit differently. And the best part of my birthday, I don't know if you guys knew, but Monday was my birthday. But the best part of my birthday is that the day after is my grandmother's birthday. And grandma turned 92 years young yesterday. So I said, you know what? 92. I hope that I get to be 92 years old one day. So I decided to take the day off, surprise grandma, and drive down there. I caught her right in the middle of, you know, the debates and talks with my aunties and uncles who were there. None of them knew that I was driving down. So I surprised them all, and we celebrated my grandmother's 92nd birthday. So that was really, really cool stuff. And, yeah, thank you. Perfect, Jack. Yeah. It was great, man. Celebrate good times. I mean, 92 years old. I mean, I really hope that, Jack, you and I make it to get, you know, in the 90s, somewhere in the 90s. So it's amazing, though, because she still has so much energy. Thank God, no big health problems. She's always doing something around the house, in my opinion, sometimes too much. But I love her to death, and it was really great seeing her yesterday. So I decided to take the day off and celebrate with her, but I'm back at it, and I'm happy to be back at it behind the mic here after a one-day hiatus because we got a lot to talk about, including a lot of Michigan State football because some news broke yesterday concerning the name of a young man by the name of Ladarius Jefferson. And Ladarius Jefferson, you know, listed as a running back for this Michigan State football team. Ladarius has decided that he is done with the green and white, and he has entered his name into the transfer portal. Now, Jack, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're the one who enlightened me a few weeks ago when it was starting to become clear that Elijah Collins was going to be the number one back. You tipped me off to his Twitter profile, right? That was Ladarius, right?
That was Ladarius Jefferson. Yeah, about 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. And Ladarius came out and had like this cryptic tweet, I believe, saying something to the notion of all good things must come to an end.
He said like some things aren't meant to last. Something along those lines. Yep.
Right. Some things aren't meant to last. So many of you out there who saw that tweet on social media, you guys began to speculate and say, oh, Ladarius, what's going on here? Are you thinking about moving on from the MSU football program? What's up? Things kind of died down as time went on, but yesterday news broke that Ladarius indeed has been thinking about moving along his career away from Michigan State, and he typed up a really nice salute to Michigan State University, but he wants to go and try his talents at another program. So we'll dive into that story because it's, you know, the game has really changed now a bit when it comes to college football and how players who are unhappy with certain situations at their universities can say, hey, I want to enter the portal and go somewhere else. The game has really changed. And coaches are scrambling to adjust, I believe. So we'll talk about that news for Michigan State football. Also, some news broke yesterday. I saw this. I was with the fam yesterday, so we're sitting down and having these debates and talks like the Martins usually do. then the news comes on. The 5 o'clock news comes on. And, you know, we see a breaking story concerning Mark D'Antonio. And it looks as though the head coach of the Michigan State football program is going to be deposed for like 7 hours. So, yeah, got some thoughts on that as well. This, of course, is in direct relation to the Curtis Blackwell story. Curtis Blackwell was once a member of the MSU football staff. Blackwell believes he was wronged and let go, fired, without just cause, and he's going to fight this thing. So a federal judge, has ordered Mark D'Antonio to undergo a deposition. So we'll have thoughts on that as well. Not the kind of news you want to hear right in the smack dab middle of your college football season, right? So we'll talk about that, and then later on this hour, I want to talk about an interesting Lions story that I heard about this morning. All right, so we'll talk some Detroit Lions as the Lions prepare for that Monday Night Football matchup against Aaron and company. The Green Bay Packers, Monday Night Football. That should be an interesting game. And I'm going to make a statement that may surprise you concerning the Lions later on this hour. So, that and more. If you want to be a part of the show, you know how you can do so. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. You can watch the live stream there and comment below that live stream to weigh in. You can also tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News, or you can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Here are your quick hit headliners. All right, let's start here. As I just mentioned, Ladarius Jefferson has decided to enter the transfer portal. Michigan State's backfield rotation just keeps on shrinking. About a week after junior running back Connor Hayward entered the NCAA transfer portal, well, sophomore running back Jefferson has now done the same. Jefferson confirmed the news in a message to MLive yesterday afternoon. Entering the portal allows players to be contacted by coaches from other schools, but does not mean an individual has to transfer. Now, Jefferson didn't completely close the door on Michigan State, but he did thank Mark D'Antonio for the opportunity and said that he will not play another game for the Spartans this season. Again, I want to get your thoughts on this story because we have now seen not one but two MSU running backs deciding to take their talents to the transfer portal. And when it comes to the message, just bear with me here. This is what Ladarius Jefferson typed on his Twitter page. Quote, first and foremost, I would like to thank God for every blessing and opportunity in life and making a huge impact on me as a human. I would like to thank my family for being there every step of the way and carving me out to be the man I am today and having my back throughout any situation in life. And finally, I would like to thank Coach Mark D'Antonio and the entire Michigan State football program for giving me an opportunity to play for a powerhouse program, showcase my abilities, and create a bond
create and bond with brothers I'll have for 40-plus years at this prestigious university. With saying that, I will be entering my name in the NC2A transfer portal for a new chapter in life and many more opportunities and blessings God got for me and my family. Forever go green, go white. And then he has the prayer hand emoji. So that was the official statement coming down from Legarius Jefferson and his Twitter profile. More on that story in just a moment. And speaking of Mark D'Antonio, in sports terms, Mark D'Antonio went 500 yesterday because a federal judge in West Michigan ruled that Michigan State football head coach D'Antonio, he can wait until after the season ends to be deposed by attorneys or a former staff member who's suing over wrongful termination, that staff member, former staff member being Curtis Blackwell. But D'Antonio also lost his bid to limit the length and scope of the deposition. The judge said that he must sit for 7 hours and can be asked any questions. 7 hours, folks. That's a full workday. Sheesh. That includes questions D'Antonio's lawyers tried to make off limits, specifically about the recruitment of star defensive lineman Austin Robertson. Blackwell said D'Antonio was warned repeatedly about Robertson's troubles in high school. Signed him anyway, and Robertson is now serving up to 10 years in prison for sexual assault, as well as the Larry Nassar scandal that rocked the university. So that's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. But 7 hours, it's a long time. So, again, it won't happen until after the season. So I guess Coach D has a lot of time to prepare for that. But, wow. All right. Some news concerning former Michigan State quarterback Connor Cook, the most decorated quarterback in Spartan football history. The XFL's return to the professional sports landscape is inching closer, and the first group of players to enter the upcoming draft has been announced. And it includes the former MSU QB and Cook, who bounced around the NFL for a while. He headlines the list of 198 players announced by the XFL earlier this week. The draft will take place October 15th and 16th, and will place... will take place via social media. So this isn't going to be televised, Jack, I'm guessing, just on social media. They're going to just slowly release the teams and their picks as it goes on?
I guess not. Save a little bit of money that way. Maybe they don't go bankrupt quite as quickly as the AAF did last year.
Yeah, that's true. That is very, very true. Yeah, that was a tremendous fail concerning the AAF and that whole experiment.
It's pretty funny, though.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious.
Just, I mean, everyone talking about how there actually is a market for out-of-season football, you know, outside of the NFL season. Then the ratings were great for week one, and then no one tuned in after that.
Right, exactly. And that's the thing, though. I mean, we've seen the XFL experiment before. There was a whole 30 for 30. I don't know if you watched that with Vince McMahon and how we started it. I believe. I don't know how long that lasted. Maybe they got through one season, maybe. I don't know. If that, I have to look that up. Can we Google that and see? But this is the XFL's next go-around, Jack, so we'll see. Other MSU players who have entered the draft include safety Curtis Drummond, offensive tackle Miguel Machado, and wide receiver Keith Mumphrey. Wow. So we'll see if those players that used to rock the green and white, if they get chosen.
Yeah, by the way, you were right. It was only one season. 2001 was the only year the XFL operated.
Gotcha. Yeah, I remember watching the documentary, and I believe that's what they said. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. The XFL giving it another go. And again, a few Spartans you may see on an XFL football field. All right, Central Michigan quarterback David Moore has been suspended by the NCAA after testing positive for a banned substance. The school announced that yesterday, and it plans to appeal the suspension after athletic director Michael Alford met with Moore and head coach Jim McElwain. CMU believes Moore's, quote, use of an over-the-counter nutritional supplement as the likely cause of the positive test result. During the appeal process, Moore is ineligible to play. So CMU will appeal this, but right now David Moore has been suspended by the NCAA. The Detroit Red Wings ended up losing at the hands of the Anaheim Ducks 3-1 last night. The Wings now sit at 2-1-0. And I believe, because I don't know why, Jack, but this game was on while me and my family were debating and talking last night to celebrate my grandma's birthday. But this was a close game, right? And I believe, like, Anthony Mantha correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if you watched the game last night, but I believe Mantha, he was like offsides, and it took away the go-ahead goal last night for the Wings.
I believe that's right. Yeah, it was a goal by Dylan Larkin. I don't remember. It might have been Mantha who was offside. I didn't watch the game last night because I was pretty bedridden. But yeah, there was a questionable call that went back kind of against the Wings, and then yeah, they fell behind 2-1 in the third period. And then I believe Anaheim got an empty netter to end it 3-1.
Yeah, I was shocked. I was paying attention for just a moment when that happened. I'm like, oh,
hey, good for you, man.
Right? There you go. That's rare when that happens. When I'm even watching hockey. But, yeah, the Wings fall to the Ducks last night.
I'll be honest with you. It's pretty rare when I'm watching hockey in the beginning of October as well. So
yeah, it's so early. Yeah, I feel you on that. And speaking of, the beginning of the season, the Detroit Pistons are still in preseason action as they will play host to the Dallas Mavericks tonight at Little Caesars Arena. That's going to be a 7 p.m. tip time and a quick MLB playoff update for you guys. Yesterday, we saw the Tampa Bay Rays beat the Houston Astros 4-1. That series is all knotted up at 2 games apiece. That's interesting, right? And today you can catch the Cardinals and Braves at 5:02 p.m. That series is tied at 2 games apiece. The Nationals and Dodgers at 8:37 p.m. That series is tied at 2 games apiece. And also, tomorrow, again, I mentioned the Houston Astros and the Tampa Bay Rays. That's when they will resume that series. That will take place tomorrow at 7:07 p.m. So Cardinals, Braves, Nats, Dodgers, Game 5s. Exciting stuff. And Snoop Diggity Dogg. Oh, boy, he's been, like, leading headlines, right? People have been having a lot of fun with this story. Snoop Dogg, the famed hip-hop artist that he is, he said Kansas officials should not have been surprised by his controversial performance at last week's late night at the Fog. And I totally agree here. I mean, what do you expect? It's Snoop Dogg. You thought this is going to be, you didn't hire the Clark sisters, all right? I'll just say that. This is Snoop Dogg.
100%. As a university, you cannot hire Snoop Dogg to do your performance. You can't, because this is what's going to happen.
This is what's going to happen, right? It's like, what do you expect? So, anyway, if you didn't hear, his 35-minute show, I didn't know it went that long. It's kind of a long time. His 35-minute show included unfiltered lyrics and pole dancers. Yeah, he also shot fake $100 bills into the crowd with money guns. This is what Snoop D-O-double-G said on the Howard Stern show yesterday. Quote, when you pay for Snoop Dogg, you're going to get Snoop Dogg. Preach on, Snoop. You are preaching to the choir with that statement. Kansas AD Jeff Long, he issued a rebuke shortly after the performance. This is what Long said in a statement. Quote, we apologize for the Snoop Dogg performance at late night. We made it clear to the entertainers' managers that we'd expected a clean version of the show and took additional steps to communicate to our fans, including moving the artist to the final act of the evening to ensure that no basketball activities would be missed if anyone did not want to stay for his show. I take full responsibility for not thoroughly vetting all the details of the performance and offer my personal apology to those who were offended. We strive to create a family atmosphere at Kansas and fell short of that this evening. There you have that. All right, folks. That's a great story. That does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That's the number to call. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Watch the live stream there and comment below that live stream. And also, you can weigh in via Twitter. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. I forgot to push this headline in the headliners for today, but I want to push this out to you guys. It is now officially official. It was announced at the MSU football game 2 weeks ago, but I got it through my email. It got sent to all of us media members this morning around 11:20 a.m. As many of you know, but Michigan State Madness will be held on Friday, October 25th at the Breslin Center. Of course, the annual event celebrates the beginning of the 2019-2020 season for both the men's and the women's basketball teams. Doors will open to the Brez at 8:30 p.m. Admission, like always, is totally free. The event begins with autographs for Spartan fans on the Breslin Center concourse. The formal program will begin at 9:30. Will feature an introduction of the men's and women's basketball teams as well as team scrimmages. It will also include performances by the Spartan Marching Band and Drumline, MSU Cheerleaders, MSU Dance Team, and Sparty. So, again, if you haven't already marked it on your calendars by now, October 25th, 9:30 p.m., doors open at 8:30 p.m. for Michigan State Madness. Used to be called Midnight Madness. It's now just Michigan State Madness because back in the day it used to, like, you know, practice used to open up at midnight, but there you have that news. So mark it on your calendars. Should be a fun event like always. Jack, you think they'll hire Snoop Dogg to come back? You know, Snoop was here in Lansing not too long ago, actually. I don't know if you know Common Ground. Yeah. Snoop performed at Common Ground and had like a Michigan State basketball
this
jersey
year?
On. No, it was a few years back.
Okay.
I forget what year, but yeah.
Gotcha.
So,
did you see, I guess there was like an image of, you know, like the Jayhawk mascot?
He had something in his mouth.
Yeah, he had a blunt in his mouth. That I still need to find that picture because that seems hilarious to me. And also, doesn't that by itself just kind of throw away Kansas being able to plead ignorance?
Oh,
when,
for sure.
When the Jayhawk mascot's got a blunt in his mouth.
Now, I think Snoop, that was Snoop's doing. Like, Snoop said, hey, let's get a mascot. I think it was a surprise for them. Like, he, like, hired a mascot company to create that mascot.
That's a lot of effort right there.
Isn't it? Snoop goes all out.
That's
man.
A lot of effort.
That's he went all out. He went out. So, Kansas, that wasn't Kansas's doing. That was Snoop's.
So, it wasn't their actual mascot.
No, this was Snoop just finding a mascot that looks like theirs and saying, hey, put a blunt in his mouth.
Okay,
so,
gotcha.
Yeah. Oh, boy. What a story. Can you imagine Sparty walking around?
They gotta give him red eyes.
Oh,
they gotta give the Sparty mascot red eyes.
That's crazy. Oh, man. That's hilarious. All right. Well, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it moving. All right, folks, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We begin our first topic with Ladarius Jefferson. As you heard, and you probably heard yesterday, but leading our headliners today happens to be news about Ladarius Jefferson, the sophomore running back, who gained the third most rushing yards on the team for Michigan State football last season, has played, you know, an okay role throughout the first six games of 2019. I really think that, you know, I have this debate all the time. I feel like every Monday after a Michigan State football game this year, Brad Walker, our very own Brad Walker, he comes in and we kind of just talk sports for a little bit. And every Monday, Brad vents to me about how Michigan State should be using Ladarius Jefferson more. He would like to see Ladarius out in the flat more and using him as a hybrid kind of player. You know, if Elijah Collins isn't in the game or needs a breather, or even if he is in the game, you know, still having Ladarius out there in some way, shape, form, or capacity because he believes he's a solid piece. And I kind of felt the same way. I mean, especially at the beginning of the year, we did see some things that Ladarius Jefferson could do. I'm not going to go as far as to call him a game changer, but he's a solid player. And at the end of the day, this is all about playing time. We all know what this is about. We don't have to look too hard at this story to understand. And that's how a lot of transfers happen, right? They're not happy with the PT. You know, you may be beaten out by another player who plays your same position. In this case, it's Elijah Collins. Elijah Collins has solidified himself as the number one guy. He's getting the most carries. You know, at one point when Elijah did solidify that number one spot, heck, we saw Ladarius Jefferson not even as the second back. You know, I think I saw Anthony Williams at one point. Well, no, it was Connor Hayward, then Anthony Williams, and then they had Ladarius Jefferson at number four. And I'm like, what is going on here? Then they, like, refreshed the depth chart the next week, and then Ladarius was number three. Connor Hayward was number two. And then when Connor left, then you had Ladarius Jefferson as the number two running back. So at the end of the day, though, and I'm going back to the tweet that Jack tipped me off to of a couple of weeks ago, in which Ladarius Jefferson, you know, had that cryptic tweet, you know, good, you know, all things can't last, or, you know, something like that, where it alluded to maybe the fact that Ladarius Jefferson is not happy in a green and white jersey. So this is the reality of today. Players, if they aren't happy, they have some power here where they say, hey, I'm going to enter the transfer portal and keep my career moving on from there. So, you know, this leaves MSU right now with redshirt freshman Elijah Collins, true freshman Anthony Williams, and true freshman Brandon Wright as the top three running backs. Junior Alante Thomas, he has some experience. Weston Bridges, who moved to wide receiver in the spring, he was suspended for rules infraction, Mark Antonio said after the Indiana game. So those are the names that Michigan State has to deal with right now. And Jefferson now becomes the third Michigan State player since September 25th to enter the transfer portal, following linebacker Brandon Boyer Randall and fellow running back Connor Hayward. Now, immediately when this news broke, I got some text messages out there with people out there that I know and talk Michigan State sports with all the time, who were very concerned, saying, Al, this is the third time throughout this season that we have seen a Michigan State player say, I'm done, I'm going to the transfer portal. What is going on in East Lansing? We have a huge problem. And I paused him and said, look, I don't think this is just a Michigan State problem. I'm pretty sure if we did just some surface digging here, there are other programs across the nation who are dealing with the same thing. This is the new era of college football today. I'm pretty sure there are other players who have said, I'm not happy with my PT. Let me put my name in the transfer portal and see if I can better myself in a better situation at a better school and become the guy there. That's how it is. This is not just a Michigan State football, quote unquote, problem. It's a reality. That's just how things are today, especially when you talk about the modern day young athlete here in 2019. I tried to look this up, couldn't find a nice website that laid it out. But I'm wondering, you know, who are the programs in this nation that have the most players so far through this point of the college football year? Which school has the most players in the transfer portal throughout this season so far? Michigan State has three. We all know that. But I'm pretty sure there are other programs who have that amount, maybe a little less, maybe one or two, and probably some programs out there that maybe have five, six, I don't know. Michigan State isn't the only school, though, that is trying to deal with this. Is it frustrating? For sure. For sure. Because, knock on wood, but if something happens to Elijah Collins, then you're looking at, you know, a really thin running back core. It's already thin, but and he's a redshirt freshman. Elijah Collins is a redshirt freshman. Then you go to true freshman Anthony Williams to try and hold down the fort now. Then you got another true freshman behind him in Brandon Wright. I mean, what? So how do you deal with this as a coach? If you're Mark D'Antonio, I really don't know. Let me put that conversation to my right real quick. I do want to say this about Ladarius Jefferson. For those out there criticizing this young man, stop it. This is a personal decision for him. I'm sure when this headline came across your phone, Spartan fans, you immediately got frustrated. And some of you, I saw some of you firsthand on the good old Twitter. Hop on Twitter and immediately voice your displeasure and bash this young man and say, look, what are you doing? You're flushing your career. down the two. Why don't you just wait this thing out? If Elijah Collins, if something does happen to him, you're the guy. You're the guy. At the end of the day, I'm all about the power being in the hands of the player. And if that player is not happy for whatever reason, and you know, if you say and you look at it and say, well, if something happens to Elijah Collins, well, that's an if. I don't live my life on ifs. I don't think anybody should live their life on ifs. You know, if Elijah Collins did get hurt, then yeah, Elijah, you know, then Ladarius would come in and hold down the fort as the number one running back. We'll see. But right now, Elijah Collins is healthy. That's his spot. If Ladarius believes that he can go somewhere else and become the star running back at a different program and he wants to test those waters right now, then hey, do that. This is America. The NCAA has allowed you to do this now. Now, on the flip side of this, you know, it's a bit unfortunate for him because, I mean, he's already played six games now. He's going to have to sit out the rest of this year. And then he's going to have to sit out all of next year. Unless he, what, like, appeals. You know, if he goes through the appeal process and you know, if I don't know, something miraculous happens and he's able to, you know, to win that appeal and is able to play immediately, my goodness, all power to you, Ladarius. But he's going to have to sit out for a long, long time. I mean, I really just hope that he's hitting the weight room and staying in shape. He's going to have to go to, like, the Le'Veon Bell route, just stay in shape in the offseason. Stay ready. Because that's a long time off. But this is what he feels is best for him. And those who criticize and bash him for that decision, shame on you. Now, how does Mark D'Antonio, how does Mark D'Antonio and other coaches out there deal with this? I really don't know. That's the million-dollar question, right? Because you can't keep everybody happy. You just can't. At the end of the day, you have to put out the player personnel who you believe is going to give you the best shot to win Saturday after Saturday. And right now, we all know who's that guy in the backfield. It's Elijah Collins. So if it's Elijah Collins, you can't say, oh, well, Ladarius, I know you're upset. Okay, we got to please Ladarius. He's frustrated. I'm worried about him possibly going to the transfer portal. Let me get him some minutes here. No, that's not what you do. You can't coddle to the athlete, right? Nothing personal, but I'm trying to win a game here. I'm trying to win games here. And when it comes to my starting lineup and when it comes to playing time, I'm going to have the best players out there. I'm going to have the personnel out there that give us the best shot to win. So if you're Coach D, nothing really you can do. I mean, what are you going to do? Give him, like, what, special treatment away from the football field? How can you even do that? We're going to extend your curfew, Ladarius, tonight. Go out and party, you know? Even though you're not getting any PT, go out and party, I guess. Here's your curfew extension. Or what can you do? I don't know. You can't do anything. Wish you well. And I do wish Ladarius well. I wish Boyer Randall well. I wish Connor Hayward well. These young men have an opportunity today to take some power back from the NCAA and say, hey, I'm out. I'm not happy here. I'm out. I want to test the transfer portal and go somewhere else. So then I heard this comment as well. There's so many layers to this. You know, should Michigan State now look at the transfer portal and try and look for another running back? I don't know about that. Because I think, Jack, when it comes to the transfer portal, there's some talented players. I think there's some talented players in the transfer portal, but it's not guaranteed that you're going to get some kind of like star running back in the portal now, you know? I don't know. If you start to get really thin, then yeah, you may have to go that route, but those players would have to sit out a whole year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that would be more of a long-term solution this year. I mean, your best hope is that Anthony Williams and Elijah Collins stay healthy, and no disrespect to Ladarius Jefferson and Connor Hayward, but in my opinion, those are your two best running backs in the program anyway. And then, you know, Weston Bridges got moved to receiver, I believe, prior to this season. He was formerly a running back, so they might want to think about moving him back to tailback to give themselves a little bit more depth there. But, you know, if they were to look to bring in a transfer running back, I don't think that would be able to help him this year. I don't think he'd be able to be eligible for this season.
And that's my point. You know, you have to sit out a year. Again, unless it's miraculously you appeal it and somehow, some way he's able to play immediately. That's very unlikely in a situation like this, but he's going to have to sit out a year. So, like you said, Jack, that'll be a more of a long-term solution. You can't fix that right now. So you're going to have to just bite the bullet. This is going to happen. This is 2019 in the NCAA, folks. And the transfer portal has become somewhat of a game changer for a lot of different players out there. You know, commitment today, when it comes to athletes in college football today, is that word is used very loosely now because of the portal. So, and at the end of the day, this isn't no slight to Ladarius Jefferson at all, but this would be a bigger blow if it was a starter. You know, if Michigan State was still going through, you know, some trouble here trying to find out who the starting running back, who the number one back for the team is, and there was no clear cut guy, and you know, there was still some gray area there, then yeah, losing Ladarius Jefferson would hit harder. But right now, the fact that we are seeing some great production from Elijah Collins, it doesn't hit as hard. Does it hit? Yeah, it still does, because again, you got a thin core there. But what are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. Want to hear from you guys. I'll read a few of your comments coming in at facebook.com/WKAR news. And also you can go to Twitter. And tweet us at WKAR News and tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. After I hit this first break, and you may have thoughts on this as well, I want to talk about this this deposition news concerning Mark D'Antonio and how this may impact his future here at Michigan State. That and more. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. A few comments coming in on our Facebook page here concerning the news about Ladarius Jefferson deciding to, you know, put his name in the transfer portal and move on and take his talent somewhere else. And I'm seeing here, let's see here. Quote, I'm afraid both sets of fans will be, well, I'm seeing a lot of Lions comments, actually. No, these are all Lions comments. So nothing about Ladarius, actually. All right, well, you guys, I feel like you guys are just, all right, keep it moving. Okay. I'm going to get to the Lions in just a moment because Jack and I, we were just chatting, and I want to talk about a video that was released by, I believe it was the Bleacher Report, concerning Matthew Stafford. And they mixed Matthew Stafford, quarterback of the Lions, with like the Joker, the new Joker movie. If you haven't seen the new Joker movie, you may not understand some parts of the video, but you understand the message that they're trying to send concerning the Detroit Lions and Matthew Stafford. I'm going to get to that story later on. In about 10 minutes. But first, I do want to address the elephant in the room on today's current sports. And that has to deal with Mark D'Antonio and the news that broke yesterday that he will be deposed in a lawsuit after the Michigan State football year is said and done. So a judge ruled yesterday that Mark D'Antonio will have to undergo a questioning for up to 7 hours. That's the maximum. Who knows if it will go like 7 hours, but the judge did say that Coach D can be questioned for up to 7 hours. And attorneys for Curtis Blackwell, he's been filing this lawsuit. We've been following this story now for weeks. But Curtis Blackwell, he's the one who filed this lawsuit. He's a former recruiting coordinator for the Michigan State football team. He wanted Coach D to be questioned during an upcoming bye week. D'Antonio's attorney, Thomas Kienbaum, said that D'Antonio was available before the season and now has an extraordinary workload. Kienbaum said, quote, "These people live and breathe football around the clock." So, D'Antonio, he won that battle, but U.S. Magistrate Judge Ellen Carmody in Grand Rapids rejected request by his attorneys to limit the length and the scope of that deposition. So, up to 7 hours, that's the maximum. Meanwhile, the judge leveled a $10,000 sanction against one of Blackwell's attorneys, Andrew Patterson Jr. Patterson filed in court a 200-page transcript of an MSU police detective's deposition. Despite a stipulation, the deposition would not be made public. So the judge said it was one of only a handful of times that she has sanctioned attorneys in nearly two decades on the bench. So that was a no-no. So she ordered the $10,000 to be paid to the detective, Chad Davis, whose deposition was filed in court. The judge also ordered that the document be sealed, though it has likely been downloaded by others, particularly, guess who? The media. So this is really interesting in when it comes to a lot of different areas here. Blackwell, he's suing former MSU president Luanna Simon, former athletic director Mark Hollis, and the detectives Davis and Sam, who arrested Blackwell during a 2017 sex assault investigation of three former football players. Blackwell was not charged with a crime. He says that he was wrongfully fired after he was accused of interfering with the sex assault investigation. He contends that he did not get involved in the investigation, but did mentor players, one of his job duties. So this is sticky, and I just want to be real here. I was very surprised, and I still am very surprised, that Michigan State has allowed it to get this far. I really thought this is what my guess was going to be. I didn't think it was going to get this far. I thought that Michigan State was going to say, "Here, Curtis, here's some moolah. We're sorry. This is our way of saying sorry. We wish you the best." Possibly some, I don't want to call it hush money, but that's what I thought was going to happen. Give him some hush money. "Here's some money, Curtis. Don't take it this far. We really don't want to take it this far. We already got enough problems that we're dealing with still here at Michigan State. We're under new leadership now. We would all just like to go on with our lives. Here's some moolah, Curtis. Just please, just can we end this whole thing?" But MSU is standing pat, standing firm. Curtis is standing pat and standing firm. I don't think anything has come out. We don't know. Maybe MSU tried to do that. I don't know. Maybe MSU tried to say, "Hey, Curtis, here's a little something. Don't want to make it go this far. We don't want to go down this road." Maybe Curtis is so angry at how this whole thing has gone along that he's like, "No, I don't want your money. I want what I perceive to be my justice. So I'm riding this thing to the wheels fall off." I don't know. Again, I'm just trying to look at this thing from a lot of different areas here. At the end of the day, this is not what Michigan State University needs right now. This is not what the new leadership here at Michigan State needs under new athletic director Bill Beekman, under new president Samuel Stanley. Dealing with this kind of hangover from everything that's happened in the past with Larry Nassar, with the three MSU, well, four MSU football players involved in sexual assault. And Coach D'Antonio, who is already under a huge microscope here for how this Michigan State football season is going so far. Not many Spartan fans are pleased with how this Michigan State football season has gone so far. You're tired of the mediocrity. You're tired of 7-8 wins and go to a bowl game. Oh, cool. You know, you miss the conference championship days. You miss the Rose Bowl days and the college football playoff days. And, you know, Jack, we had the conversation. That was Monday, right? We had that conversation on Monday about Mark D'Antonio. How much longer would he be the coach here for Michigan State football? And I contended that, you know, I think Mark has at least one more season, but you said, nah, Al, everything has gone down. I think he's just got one more year and he's gonna go out on his own terms and announce that he's stepping down. You know, they're not going to fire him. I can't see Bill Beekman. He shouldn't be fired. Everything that Coach D'Antonio has done for the program, for the school, he should not be fired. But having this story linger in the news, continuing to give this university bad press, and now Mark D'Antonio has to undergo a deposition up to 7 hours for this very dark chapter in Michigan State University history, having that still linger, I think it may be too much for him now. I think this convinced me. When I saw this come out yesterday, I said, okay. If this didn't come out, I still would say, Jack, okay, I think maybe one more year. I think he'll be back next year. But with this lingering still, after the season, having to undergo this, I think Coach D is going to be so frustrated. And, you know, coaches say they don't listen to the outside noise and the you know, fans being upset and, you know, not happy with the season. He hears that stuff. Come on now. It's 2019. It's hard to be insulated, especially when you have a public job like the head coach of a Big Ten football program. He hears that chatter. There's pressure there. That's stress. And now you add this on top of it? I think this just did it. I think Coach D'Antonio is going to look at this and knowing that he's got to undergo this deposition, and it's going to be too much. I'm sure his family, they don't want to deal with this stuff. And I'm pretty sure, his wife is sitting there like, I mean, Mark, how much longer are we going to do this? I think it's about that time, man. You got to know when to hang it up. I think this story, this decision by this judge just cemented this being Mark D'Antonio's last season. Thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Comment below there, the live stream. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Tweet the show at WKAR News. When we come back, I want to talk about, I thought it was a pretty comical story concerning the Detroit Lions. Lions fans aren't happy about it, though. I get it. I would be very displeased if, you know, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, if they did something like this to Dak Prescott. I get it. We'll be right back.
All I'll say is this. The Detroit Lions better beat the Dallas Cowboys when they play them later this year.
I think that'll be a tight game. Tight game, Jack. We'll be right back. Yes, we're feeling good here on a Wednesday. It's a gorgeous fall day here in mid-Michigan. It's been really nice all week. Beautiful, you know, highs in like the upper 60s, nipping at 70, sun is out. It's beautiful. It is beautiful. So hope you guys are having a great week. I do want to also let you guys know, of course, every single semester we partner with the Journalism 418 class, and we have a group of student reporters who we assign certain beats here in the community and beyond, and they put together content that airs live here on Current Sports or is published on our website at WKAR.org. And guess who's a part of that class? The man behind the glass, Jack Kerwin. Jack, I just got your latest stories, and I want to let the public know that I will be publishing a few of those stories later on this afternoon. I've got a club football story, some fantasy football for you guys, League of Legends. So we'll be posting some esports stories as well throughout the semester. A few of those will go live around about 4 or 5 p.m. later on this afternoon. Jack, what was your story, your first story?
I'm covering the women's club ultimate team at Michigan State University this semester. So it was
club
kind of
ultimate. What is that?
Yeah, like ultimate frisbee.
I got that story. I have that story in my email. So yeah, yours will be published later on this afternoon. So great stuff. Okay, Jack, you're not happy, though. We discussed this. I thought it was hilarious.
Okay, all right. I don't care, but
it was
continue.
Funny. Can we say it was funny? Have you seen Joker yet?
Yeah, okay. I saw Joker over the weekend. Yeah.
You got all the puns that they had in there. It was it's basically a video. And Bleacher Report, you know, they cater to the young sports audience out there, and you know, they do a great job. And these videos are very creative. And they basically went at Matthew Stafford and the Detroit Lions, more so Stafford, but the Detroit Lions as well. And basically said that Matthew Stafford is just a stat stuffer, and he can't win the big games. The Lions don't scare anybody. And they put him as the character of the Joker, basically saying that Matthew Stafford is a joke. The Lions are a joke. They don't scare anybody. There was a moment where, like, they dress Matthew Stafford up as the Joker, and he's wearing this clown suit. And I think Aaron Rodgers of the Packers, he sees him at one point in the video, and he says, Oh, you didn't scare me. You know, you're just the Lions. You're not. Well, I thought you were the Bears. He says, "Oh, I thought you were the Bears. You're just the Lions." and then it goes on. You know, there's a lot of puns in there from the movie The Joker. But and then he's like, you know, in the movie Joker is taking care of his mother, and he's bathing her in the tub, and they have Matthew Stafford bathing, giving Calvin Megatron Johnson a sponge bath. That was funny. Jack, how can you not like that part? That part was hilarious. I had a chuckle at that.
The only part to me that was funny really was at the very beginning when they made fun of Matt Patricia for making the team practice out in a blizzard right before 3 indoor games like he did last year. That part actually made me laugh. But the rest of it to me was just such a reach.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was very creative. I thought it was pretty funny. But a lot of people aren't happy with this. And I saw... You know that it's gaining traction and that it's getting under your skin when players, and I like this. I have no problem with this. I think a platform like Bleacher Report putting something like this out there and really going at Matthew Stafford and the Lions in the way they did, I think I have no problem with players looking at this and saying, I got to respond to this. I saw Kerryon Johnson. I don't know if you saw Kerryon's response. Kerryon came out and basically said, "What is this?"
My running back.
Yeah, Kerryon. Yeah, he had Matthew Stafford's back. He had his team's back. There was another player as well.
Chris Lacy responded to it as well, whose name I wasn't familiar with, but he responded something like, "Hey, this isn't it."
Okay.
Chris Lacy.
Chris Lacy did.
Yeah.
Who's Chris Lacy?
I don't know. I didn't even recognize his name, but he's on the Lions, apparently.
Okay,
might
so
be
he
a special
spoke
teams
well.
Guy or something, or a receiver low on the depth chart. Yeah.
Gotcha. So, there have been players who have come out and like had Matthew Stafford's back in this whole thing. So I saw that Matt Derry, he's a Michigan reporter. He came out and said, "This is absolutely so unfunny." other players.
I don't think Matt Derry is a Lions fan. I'm sorry. I was thinking he was because he's an Indians fan. He's not a Tiger fan, I don't believe. But yeah, Matt Derry is a Lions fan, I believe. So
WDIV in Detroit, Channel 4 in Detroit, they came out and said, "Nah." So you got local outlets coming out and saying, "Come on, man, this is like.
this is low.
Well, here's the thing as a Lions fan. I'm not adverse to, you know, an outlet like Bleacher Report making fun of the Lions or trolling the Lions for their pathetic history. I mean, if they do it the right way, I probably would find it funny. But again, like I said, this to me, this whole video was just such a reach. And the other thing is, too, it might have been funnier if they would have put a Lions diehard fan in the Joker role instead of Matt Stafford. I don't understand why they were sandbagging Stafford the way they were when, like, he's played so well this year and even most of his career, even if you want to criticize him and say he hasn't been, you know, an elite quarterback, which I don't think he has his entire career. I would say there have been factors at play way outside of Stafford's control as to why the Lions haven't won since he's been there.
Oh, for sure. I have been one of the biggest, I feel like I've been here on the airwaves, one of the biggest Matthew Stafford supporters. I'm a fan of Matthew Stafford's. I love him. I love him. He's so tough. You cannot question the kid's toughness. He's got a rocket arm. I love Matthew Stafford. He's not the problem with the Detroit Lions. And that's where I'm attacking this from. Lions fans should be upset. Matthew Stafford should be upset.
There's no way Stafford's even seeing this.
He doesn't have social media.
He doesn't have social media.
Come on. His wife has probably said, hey, you got to check this out. Come on. It's impossible not to.
I don't think his wife has social media anymore. I think she deleted it, didn't she?
This has to get to him. His homie, somebody.
There's no way Matt Stafford's seen this.
Stop it, Jack.
Have you ever? Matt Stafford's like the most unplugged athlete in all of Detroit.
You really believe that? It's impossible to be unplugged in 2019,
I believe that. Sure. No, it's not.
I don't care who you are.
No, it's not. Nick Saban said he didn't know the election was happening. Bill Belichick doesn't have social media.
Nick Saban is lying. No,
I understand he is lying, but he's also completely unplugged. I believe that.
And probably, yeah, because they do get insulated, but something like this, especially like Nick Saban, the election, come on, bro, stop. But final point, I'm gonna just touch on this to start tomorrow's show, but I think that I want Matthew Stafford to see this. I think that maybe you can use this as some kind of motivation. I don't know. I'll tackle that on tomorrow's show because some people would say, Al, you don't need a Bleacher Report video to motivate you. If you do, you're crazy. Why not? Use it. All right, folks. Fun Wednesday show. I could have done a 3-hour show today. Have a great rest of your day and be easy, people.